Welcome to Hyperlocal, a podcast dedicated to inspiring economic developers, job creators, and community champions. I'm your host, Mason Ainsworth, and our mission is to bring you real-world stories, proven strategies, and game-changing projects using local solutions and global perspectives. We have had incredible guests on the show, and we're just warming up. Jessica Linthorne is powering the future of Ontario's energy economy. As president and CEO at the Nuclear Innovation Institute, she's at the forefront of connecting nuclear innovation with economic development, job creation, and community impact across the province. In this energized episode of Hyperlocal, we dive into what the Nuclear Innovation Institute is and its powerful link to economic development, the massive opportunities new nuclear brings to Ontario, and the Nuclear Innovation Institute's recent report in partnership with the Ontario Chamber of Commerce. We also get into why 60% of Ontario's energy baseload is nuclear, SMRs, and why the world is watching Canada. We also talk about the critical role of medical isotopes, operational excellence, and understanding the energy sector. We discuss emerging leadership, emotional intelligence, collaboration, adaptability, and the importance of being where your feet are. We also talk about the importance of having a passion for the public sector, knowing the players, and always reaching beyond to learn more. Now, let's get into it. Jessica, thank you so much for joining us today on Hyperlocal. Really appreciate it. And I know you mentioned just that before we chatted as well that I'm okay to call you Jess. So I feel really humbled. And thank you so much, Jess, for joining us today.
Yeah, no problem, Mason. I'm really, really excited to be here and to chat with you.
Yeah, thank you so much. So we'll hop right into things. So when I start with people, I like to kind of go back in time a little bit. And I think those origin stories are really important for people, especially folks who are maybe looking to transition or they're looking at kind of, hey, you know, where am I going to go in my career in the future and how do I get there? So I'm curious, you know, you've done quite a few things with your career. I know you've been an executive assistant slash community relations coordinator at the Independent Living in Waterloo region, as well as went into different roles, but ending as director of strategic initiatives in Saugeen Shores. And now obviously as the president and CEO of the Nuclear Innovation Institute, I'm curious, you know, throughout that process, what sparked your passion for economic development and energy, and how did your journey lead you to where you are today?
Oh, that's great. What a great question, Mason. And it's really, you know, even just hearing you say those words, the Independent Living Center of Waterloo Region, like it brings me back to some really like just incredible career highlights that I've had truly the privilege to experience and working with tremendous leaders across the way too. It's been an exciting journey to get to where I am today, but yeah, I mean, to share a little bit and just take that step back, I did start my career at the nonprofit sector. So I worked for Guelph Services for Persons with Disabilities right when I graduated. And then, you know, community relations, sort of fundraising, community development, moved into the Independent Living Center of Waterloo Region, a role with that organization, again, a not-for-profit supporting people with disabilities. So, you know, as you can imagine, these are both like just incredible organizations that are incredibly inclusive, and the sense of community is just truly at the top of that. And this notion of community and building and working together and being collaborative, also with a not-for-profit lens, right? So very resourceful. I mean, all these words are connecting with anybody that's in economic development. And then I thought, you know what I want to do is I want to try something a bit more corporate. So I actually jumped into Research in Motion, so BlackBerry, formerly Research in Motion. And I was working there in the philanthropic department within their corporate services, or corporate affairs rather, and community relations, again, that word community. So instead of being the fundraiser looking for the money and writing the grants, I was now on the other side of the table, which was incredible. It was an incredible time, short-lived, but an incredible learning in my career of, you know, what are the strategic goals that this corporation is looking to fund? How are we funding our operating communities? How are we managing all of those requests coming in for dollars and really good community projects that were happening? So I learned a lot. It was an incredible time. I met some very talented people. And then, like many people, I was laid off at BlackBerry. And it sucked, right? Anyone that's experienced a termination or a layoff, like that sucks. Because you think you got something going and maybe you have a bit of a plan in that place and then things happen. And that's okay. I was also pregnant at the time with my second child. So, here I am laid off. And when you were laid off at BlackBerry, they took your BlackBerry, right? Of course. And so I remember driving home. We lived in Elmira at the time and, upset. And I loved my job and I loved my colleagues and thinking, geez, what am I going to do now? And it was, first and foremost is family, always, always first and foremost, right? So I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm gonna have a baby. That's okay. That's great. I'm gonna focus on my family. And then when it's time to return to work, I'm gonna figure it out. So that's what we did. And it was a journey and a family decision to relocate back up to the Grey Bruce area. So that's what we did. And, my husband and I are both, raised in rural Ontario communities and understanding that concept and that, again, that sense of community. So it was the right time for our family to move back up live in the city of Owen Sound, so in Grey County. And I applied for a job at the town of Saugeen Shores in the rec department. And I thought, well, okay, active. I appreciate community. I appreciate working with groups and stakeholders in the community, local businesses. So then I moved into this recreation world, and I thought, okay, municipal government. This is new, but I love this, right? And municipal government is it's still such a soft, big place in my heart. I feel so passionately about public sector and public service and the privilege of working for the community in which you live, work, or play. And my career evolved quite, I'll say quickly, but it did take about 10 years at the town of Saugeen Shores. But I just kept reaching because I thought, I love this business community. How do I help the business community? Hey, what's about, I want to learn more about this nuclear sector. And Bruce Power, of course, being just 25 kilometers south of Saugeen Shores, getting to know the players throughout the nuclear sector and understanding the significant economic opportunity with nuclear, not to mention the emission-free power, right? We've got clean air. We've got no smog days because of nuclear. We've got this lock-solid grid that is keeping us warm on days like today and keeping us cool in the summer. And so I just became absolutely fascinated with how do I support our local economy. Love working with mayors and members of council. I absolutely love the dynamic of, bringing opportunities forward and helping the community move along with us, fostering appropriate growth, right? Like that was a significant part of what I did. My colleagues still tease me because I really do think like when the census is released, like that's Christmas Day for me, right? I love looking at the census. I love the data. I love the decision
I
making.
love that you're a data nerd. That is so funny. If Paul's listening out there, you know who you are. You'll
Yes.
be super excited. He's a Statistics Canada super nerd, but he is an awesome guy,
Absolutely.
so.
It's like Christmas morning, isn't it? So, like I had such a wonderful time with the municipality. And I evolved and I grew into some organizational effectiveness, good culture building. And I hold that town and that place, that community and that those colleagues such in my heart and really just it was fantastic. And then, you kind of see this thing shaping up called the Nuclear Innovation Institute. And I was working on a project around the Municipal Innovation Council. I'm very creative by nature, very collaborative, and always thinking about how do we do something better? How do we, save time? How do we save money? How do we increase safety? How do we listen to our workers? How do we implement our worker ideas? Because the best ideas are the ones on the ground, right? The people doing the work, they've got these ideas. So I started, a little bit of that conversation and thinking, I love the economic opportunity nuclear creates. I know the story. I'm seeing the story take shape in this community of Saugeen Shores and in Bruce County. And then, really working with the Nuclear Innovation Institute to say, like, let's talk more about this economy throughout the three counties of Bruce Gray Huron. But also across the province and also now across Canada, right? Like nuclear is having a moment. So in 2021, I guess it was, yeah, that's right, 21, I stepped out of municipal, which was one of those, I think, scariest things I've done. and hardest, right? I loved my job. I had this incredible team, but I had this opportunity and I thought, I'm going to do it. Take the jump. Now the Nuclear Innovation Institute, we're a member-based not-for-profit, and I am at home, right? I feel at home returning to a not-for-profit organization where we are member-based. We work really hard to represent our members. And I can tell you a lot more about the work that I do, Mason, but that's a snapshot of there to here. And it's kind of cool to reflect on that. So thanks for giving me the chance to sort of spend some time.
My pleasure. Thank you for giving me the chance and our listeners to learn a bit more about you. I find it's so interesting to hear the story that people lay out, and especially what they decide to highlight through that story. Because you look back in life, and obviously you could talk all day about different things you've experienced, whether it's like something funny happening to you on a trip or something that happened to you as a kid or different things. And so it's interesting. I just wanted to pull on a couple things that you mentioned, which I think are really cool, and especially how you started off with that kind of adventure with family and the importance of that. I think that that speaks a lot. And then the ability to be able to pivot and to be adaptive when situations in our lives happen, because as you know and you've experienced, stuff happens. And
Yes.
sometimes life, kicks you in the butt and it's unexpected and unplanned, and you need to be able to pivot, especially when you have a family, and be able to look at different opportunities and utilize your passions. And you mentioned your passion for public service, and I think that is so strong. And a couple phrases you used there. One of them was, you got to keep reaching. And I think that's so important. A lot of folks in life, I find, get complacent and they don't want to continue moving forward. And that could be through different ways. But I think one of them leads to something else you said, which is, make sure that you're learning more. And that curiosity and building that curiosity into our everyday lives, and especially when it comes to work. And if you're continuously learning, you're going to reach, because you want to, understand how things interconnect with each other and such. And that brings me to knowing the players, which you also said, and understanding the ecosystem and, how folks like yourself interact with, different associations and with the local councillors and mayors. And like, these things are giant webs that all interconnect. So making sure that you're actually curious to find out about them, that you keep reaching out there to build those connections and understand that. So I just wanted to say thank you so much for sharing that. And it's a nice segue to something I found online about you. Yeah, which is pretty cool. So it was that you have been nominated and you are now a finalist for the Emerging Leader of the Year Award by the Electricity Human Resources Canada. And just a little snapshot from your team explaining the award that's online on your LinkedIn, which, if you're not following the Nuclear Innovation Institute, definitely check them out. Lots of great information there. And it says, this award recognizes early career leaders who are already making meaningful contributions to their organization and the broader energy sector. Under Jessica's leadership, NII has strengthened partnerships across government, industry, and local communities, while advancing innovation and delivering measurable social and economic outcomes aligned with Canada's clean energy goals. I think that's so cool, and I'm not surprised by that after hearing your story that you are out there and just absolutely crushing it. So please
Thank you.
keep up the great work.
Yeah, thanks, Mason. It's really just such a privilege to it's humbling to have my colleagues say, "Hey, Jess, we want to nominate you for this, and here's why." And it's cool. It's wildly cool, and it's even cooler to say that I'm a finalist in that amongst a couple other colleagues from across the country. So yeah, it's a pretty exciting time. And just Mason, to go back on a comment you said around building those relationships and that kind of interconnected weave that we all run in, especially as economic developers and public service sector employees or leaders. At the end of the day, when I do sort of step out and reflect on the opportunities that I've seen and where I've been able to grow and how I've been able to reach, the ability to connect with people is something that we can all continue to do and learn. And I have this conversation often with my colleagues or peers, and For some people, that emotional intelligence or that natural ability is there, and it may be a little bit innate. And other people do need to be a bit more mindful of that and make those connections. And I have a colleague, I haven't worked with this person in several years, but she'll know who she is. And she said, I kind of have to work at it. And I said, well, that's okay. It's about having that awareness, and being conscious to work toward that connection with someone or to ask them those questions. And she shared with me that in her phone, when she saves, so, Mason, maybe she's met you for the first time, she'll get to know you. She'll make a point to ask you how you take your coffee. And then she puts it in her phone with your contact. And I said, well, that's funny. She said, well, yeah, because you know what, if I, and Mason as the example, if I am going to meet up with Mason, I'm going to say, hey, can I grab you a coffee? And is this the coffee you want? And I said, good for you, right? Like, these are little things that if that helps her in her ability to build connection, then go for it. I rely on my memory, but
No,
so
that is super cool. And just in case she does listen to this, I
yeah.
do take a double with milk. I also like a French vanilla
Well, that's great. I'll lock
cappuccino,
that in, Mason. That's, but like, again, it's about being genuinely curious. And how are your children? And how is the weather where you are? And, just connecting with people. There's an executive I work with, and he drives an F-250. I have an F-150, a Ford pickup truck. For the non-rural listeners wondering what the F-250 is. So every time I see this executive, I say, hey, how's that 250 working out? And he just laughs now, because it's become a joke that Jess Linthorne's always going to ask him about his pickup truck. And he asked me about my pickup truck, and that's okay, right? Like, it's silly, but it's a connector. I also now can call this executive when I'm in a pinch and say, hey, I got to talk to you about this, right? Like, something serious is happening, or I need to get to the bottom of something, and I've got that support. So, I mean, that's sort of a reflection that I share, Mason, just as the power of connection, right? I don't understate that. It's pretty significant. And throughout our careers, and quite frankly, throughout our life, the connections with other people that we make, it's important. It's meaningful.
100% agree. I think that's so key, and honestly, not just like in business or in work, but with everything, like you mentioned, with your kids and your family, and these things are so important. And it's funny. I do listen to podcasts as well on top of having one. And I listened to this really cool one, and this guy was talking about how he was the most introverted person ever. And he went on a student exchange to Europe, and he just started playing this game of like, hey, can I go and say one word to somebody? And then eventually that led to having a whole full sentence and some other things. And then he started, really researching it and finding. And one of the things he talks about is putting out the kind of these lines to people of like, what are you interested in? And then, giving them an opportunity to latch on to one of them. And then, oh, let's say it's, they like going on trips, or they like going to a specific restaurant, or how do they take their coffee? And these are things that you can connect over, but it makes it a lot easier for you to remember in the future, so that you can continue to build those relationships. And I thought that was very cool.
And you never know who is sitting beside you, right? I mean, I have the most random stories that I sat on a plane once. It was a quick flight from Ottawa, and kind of chit chat. And then the guy I was sitting beside is a developer. And I said, well, do you develop outside of the city? And he said, nah, not really. Like, I don't know. And I said, well, do you know anything about the nuclear sector and rural Ontario? And so, pretty curious, right? You start to throw out some of these economic impact numbers. A developer kind of goes, huh, never heard of that. Well, guess what? I'm going to sit beside you for the next 40 minutes. I'm going to tell you all about it. And, similarly, I was in an Edmonton. Where was I? I was in an airport in Edmonton, and the sun was shining awkward. It was bright. I was trying to get some work done. This guy came over and he said, do you mind if I sit here? And I said, yeah, that's fine, but just, it's sunny and whatever. And we're working away, and I don't know who this guy is. And then at some point, he's like, oh, where are you going or whatever? And I said, I'm going back to Toronto. I'm going home. And this is what I was doing. I was actually attending a SMR, a small modular reactor summit in Edmonton. So we talked a little bit about that. And it was in rural, it was east of Edmonton, actually, in Strathcona County. So we talked about rural context. And Well, next thing you know, this guy develops, technology that supports warehouses and kind of like motion sensors and sensors broadly for security purposes of big industrial buildings. I said, well, that's pretty cool because I know a sector that has lots of big industrial buildings, right? So this power of networking and this power of just being open to some of that dialogue and that curiosity, I love playing the role of connector too, right? That's like, let me tell you about this region of Bruce Gray Huron, and let me tell you about this sector because it's incredible the opportunity we have ahead of us and how meaningful it is to work in the clean energy sector. So anyway, sorry, I digress, Mason, but just
No,
this
I love
concept
this. We could talk about this
of
subject all day, honestly. Like we could run an entire podcast just about the importance of networking, and maybe one day I will circle back just to give myself some future work, and we'll do like a panel with some people,
Oh,
and we'll talk about like networking in depth,
wouldn't it
because
be
I just
fun?
love that
Yeah.
subject. And there's
It's
so many unique, like innovative things that different people do, and yeah.
and it, you know, it's people being people and kicking around ideas and sharing passion, right? That's what it's, and then we create magic, right? We find these innovative solutions, and this isn't, I'm going to say this isn't hard. It's not that it's hard inventive work all of the time, but it's about being curious. Like you know, the automotive sector or even, the healthcare sector, all of these different sectors, they're doing all of this really cool stuff. The nuclear sector is doing some really cool stuff too. But if we don't reach outside of our own sector and talk to each other about what we're doing, then we're falling behind. So I'm curious all of the time to learn from my peers or from colleagues in other sectors. And also, that goes municipally with the nuclear sector. We do some work with our municipal partners, and a good example of that, we hosted a Innovation Day, a showcase that really was about a concrete inspection tool that is being the researchers are in this Strathclyde University out of Scotland. So the Advanced Nuclear Research Center was our partner on this. They brought this technology over. We hosted a showcase. It's about inspecting concrete that using their technology that can see cracks in concrete that are less than a millimeter. And they brought this technology over. It was so cool. We invited some municipal partners to come because I called the warden and I said, hey, we've got this inspection tool coming. They'd like to inspect some concrete. Can we do a bridge or can we do an arena wall, right? Can we do something for you that's meaningful? And Warden Charbonneau said, this is Bruce County Warden Charbonneau, said, absolutely. Like, let's pick a couple of bridges. And we worked with the operations team at Bruce County and we shared this learning through this technology. But I look at it through the lens of, okay, nuclear, guess what? We got a lot of concrete, but who else has a lot of concrete? Our municipal friends. So let's share this learning to better all of our services and our efficiencies. And so I, again, I just emphasize that point of being curious and looking outside of our own sector because we will find success as we work collaboratively, quite frankly.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. And that sounds really exciting because there's definitely not a lack of concrete, especially in the municipal sector. And I would say across government, like that's a whole other discussion,
It is.
infrastructure across the country. But just reeling us back a little bit, Jessica, I know we've talked a bit about the Nuclear Innovation Institute. I'm just curious for the listeners who are not quite familiar with the folks or what you do, can you tell us a little about who's involved with that, what you folks do, if there's any excitement happening there, maybe specifically with economic development opportunities for the new nuclear, and the maybe if you could touch on the recent report that you folks did with the Ontario Chamber of Commerce and how that kind of
Yeah.
all connects in together. And if that's too much, I'm sorry.
No, it's not too much. I gotta watch my time though, Mason. I am so passionate about the work I do and the people I get to work with and the sector. So I'll keep it tight. But yeah, I mean, when I describe the Nuclear Innovation Institute, so we are a member-based, not-for-profit organization. Our headquarters is in Port Elgin in Bruce County, so on the coast of Lake Huron. And then we have a building out towards the Bruce Power site in Tiverton, and it's our NII Advanced Technology Campus. And so it's more of a training facility. It's awesome. It's in a big, exciting, really well-utilized building. There's always lots of activity happening. Really, and at the end of the day, the mandate of working together to broaden awareness in the nuclear sector and to support that workforce. But we are, as I mentioned, member-based. So our founding members include Bruce Power, BWXT, Cameco, CANDU Energy, so an AtkinsRéalis company, ES Fox, and Kinetrex. We also work closely with the Power Workers Union and the Town of Saugeen Shores. We have an agreement with both of those organizations as well. So working closely with those partners. And again, our vision is for a Canadian landscape that celebrates nuclear as an integral part of our clean energy future. And so that's what we're doing every single day, is working toward that vision. We see it. And I mean, what an exciting time with our provincial and our federal government, this alignment we have for nuclear across the country. And just an exciting time that, the world's watching Canada. They're watching to see how our sector is responding to these energy needs and to this growth. So it's a pretty critical time in the sector, and just this like massive opportunity to look at the transformation projects we're doing. So really like looking at this threefold mandate at the NII, where we look at sector transformation projects. Again, this is about efficiency, operational excellence. How do we bolster training opportunities for founding members, get that workforce in and working hard and being efficient, looking at different tools and technology. So some really exciting projects happening there. Second part of that pillar, these three mandates, industry voice. So this is really this advocacy arm. This is where we get to talk with our local representatives, our elected officials, provincial, federal as well, to help with policy guidance, to talk about economic impact and opportunity for the nuclear sector. As an economic development mind, I always go back to like assessment growth and job creation. Right, like these are things we know are coming from the nuclear sector. So continuing to tell that story is critical. And then the third pillar around skill development. We think about workforce needs. We think about encouraging or engaging the young minds in Bruce Gray Huron through some STEM education activities. We've got this relationship with the school board. It's fantastic. They're so curious about what we're doing, and we get to spark some of that curiosity and inspiration with the kids and the youth in the region, and continue to tell that story across the province. So that's sort of our three pillar areas. And Mason, I'll say, like, I've got an organization of 17 people. So if you can imagine, like we are just cranking out work to represent those founding members and to build that alignment, to leverage that messaging. We're working really hard and we just love it. It's so exciting. And I'm surrounded by some of the most creative and brightest minds in my career. So it's a real privilege.
That's amazing. It's pretty clear just listening to you speak that you are super energized, and I'm sure the whole team is as well. So the nuclear energy is strong through your veins.
You got it. And I mean, just to step back on your comment with that recent study. So thanks for raising that. We actually have just released these figures this month. So we did a study with the Ontario Chamber of Commerce to have a look at new build. So for those that might not be familiar, Bruce Power is providing a third of the province's power. If you go to OntarioGridWatch.ca, you can see live time of how our grid is powered here in Ontario. At any given point, upward of 60% is nuclear. And I share that because not everyone realizes that nuclear is our baseload power in the province of Ontario. About 30%, so about half of that, is coming from Bruce County. And then I have to add that, so it's 22% of the province's beef is also coming from Bruce County. So I always sort of add that one in too. Bruce County is a powerhouse of giving us, whether it's a steak or whether it's you want to turn on your lights. You can thank Bruce County today for that. But what we're doing, Bruce Power has Bruce A and Bruce B, so four reactors. And now we're in a process with the province of Ontario with proposed Bruce C project. So this would be a new site. Technology's not selected yet, right? So there's still a process here. The process is still an impact assessment process with the province, and Bruce Power certainly is leading that project. But at the NII, we said, hey, well, if Bruce C is built, doesn't matter which technology, right? Like, let's just say we're going to build, the megawatts that the province is looking for. What's the economic opportunity of that? And so we worked with the Chamber of Commerce to understand, and I mean, some of these numbers are just wild. But the figures that we did land on, the Bruce C project could contribute 238 billion to Canada's GDP over its lifetime. That's 217 billion for Ontario and tens of billions in tax revenue across all levels of government. So, you kind of go, holy moly, right? Are these like these numbers are like unbelievable, but this is over the lifetime of this energy project. But then we think about jobs, like assessment growth and job creation, as every economic developer's dream. And the project with it would bring approximately 20,000 direct and indirect jobs during construction, with 15,900 in Ontario. So during operations and maintenance, the project could bring approximately 6,700 jobs nationally, with about 5,900 in Ontario. And so this job creation, I mean, we're talking good. Long-term career jobs, high-skilled jobs, labor jobs, unionized jobs. Like these are meaningful employment opportunities for Ontarians and for Canadians. A couple of the other points that we really unpacked with some of these numbers. Bruce Power makes the power. But they don't do that alone. I mean, James Sconiak is the NAI board chair. James, I hear him say often, we're in the people business. The nuclear sector is in the people business. People come to work, they're working really hard. But Bruce Power doesn't do this alone. They do this with their supply chain. And the supply chain across Ontario and across Canada, it's vast. And to the point where our team had a close look just at the province of Ontario, there's over 400 nuclear supplier locations in Ontario. And interesting, they're in about two-thirds of the provincial ridings. And so we recently were at the Rural Ontario Municipalities Association conference, ROMA, in Toronto, and we talked about these numbers just to say, hey, in two-thirds of the provincial ridings, there's nuclear suppliers, which means there's nuclear-related jobs, there's clean energy jobs. And it's important that we share that message because I think that as Ontarians, unless you're in the sector, I'm not sure how much you might know about the sector. And that's okay, but it's our job to help Ontarians and Canadians understand more about nuclear and the fact that our nuclear supply chain, like we've got a very domestic supply chain. This is important, right? Given the global landscape and geopolitical landscape, like Bruce Power has committed 95% spend in Canada. Like 95%. Like this entire sector is it really is a Canadian powerhouse. Like Canada has this opportunity to be the energy superpower, and we are so excited to be behind that in the work that we're doing in our organization. And again, we didn't even talk about medical isotopes yet, Mason, but I mean the production of medical isotopes happening at Bruce Power. This is like life-saving, right? This is cancer fighting. This is sterilization of medical equipment. These medical isotopes that Bruce Power is able to produce, it's creating now an opportunity for this new ecosystem development throughout the region or throughout southwestern Ontario. And one of the programs the NAI has stood up is the Southwestern Ontario Isotope Coalition. And I would invite, Mason, I'd invite you to learn more. I'd invite any listeners to learn more about the Isotope Coalition. We have over 30 partners, 35 partners now, but we've got academic partners, we've got private sector, we've got public sector municipalities coming to that table. This is a group of people from southwestern Ontario saying, hey, there is significant production of isotopes at Bruce Power. What else can we do? How do we help this? How do we leverage this? How do we build this, build an economy around it? But more so, how do we just make it do more, make it grow? Because we, as Ontarians and as Canadians, we are passionate about helping each other, about research and development in healthcare. And if we can keep pushing this isotope production and building and creating the things that our medical researchers need, we are contributing to the fight against cancer. And I mean, yeah, clean energy is one thing, and then you start to talk about medical isotopes, but these isotopes are produced at Bruce Power and they're serving the world. So it's just like this incredible, exciting story that could go on and on. But Again, you know, this domestic supply chain, the opportunity to provide insight to Ontarians and to help elected officials understand the jobs that are created for nuclear and that are happening in their communities. So it's yeah, the story continues, but I'll pause there, Mason. I mean, I know that's a lot of information, but it's obviously pretty exciting.
No, that is amazing. And that goes back to what she said about the importance of understanding the sector. And so when some people think about nuclear, they think of The Simpsons,
Oh
right?
gosh,
And that's basically like all they know. And I found really interesting. I was on a, I don't know, some random conference back in the day, and we were in Hamilton, and we got to go into one of the reactors and see the color. And I thought it was so cool because it was blue and not green. And I was like, what? The Simpsons lied to us.
The Simpsons lied to you, Mason. And I mean, it's funny you raised that because we talk about waste, right? And waste isn't what may, people might think it is. It's small ceramic pellets that have a home and have a plan. And the nuclear sector is responsible for all of their waste. And some sectors, you know, they may have emissions and their waste is up in the atmosphere, but not nuclear, right? We're emission free. So this clean air story is an important piece too, because you know, we stopped burning coal, and we haven't had a smog day since 2014, right? Like now there's wildfires and there's other things that are hurting our environment that do cause this environmental or air quality concern. But I can tell you it's not from our energy. It's not from the burning of coal that the province used to do. So it's you know, the human health component is certainly part of the story. And I can assure you, the operators of Bruce Power, like these people are incredibly passionate and smart and showing up to work and know, you know what? Turn off the Simpsons. Anything about that nuclear story is not relevant.
I love that, and I'm glad because that makes it comparable for a lot of folks, right? Like, hey, you've watched The Simpsons, it's not like
Forget
that,
it. That's
right?
right.
And but no, I think people getting involved and starting to understand the sector a bit more and how it branches into different areas and how there's also a ton of career opportunities there is
Yes.
huge. Just going back on something you mentioned just really briefly earlier, you mentioned SMRs, the small modular reactors. I was hoping you could maybe quickly tell us what that is for folks who don't know. And I know Minister Stephen Lecce has been chatting a lot about this, not just within Ontario, but also nationally, and maybe some comments about, what you think the future holds in that regard.
Yeah, thank you. So great question. So Minister Lecce and I have had lots of opportunity to connect, and I love to share with him the work that our team's doing, and especially around the transformation portfolio and the projects we're doing that are saving time and money. And finding those efficiencies is important for this nuclear sector for sure. With regards to the SMR, so Darlington, so OPG, Ontario Power Generation, so this is outside of Bruce Power. When I'd say, you know, kind of all eyes are on Canada, there are a lot of global players watching that SMR build, a small modular reactor being built at Darlington. And again, you know, the supply chain and understanding the needs and building this new thing. And Canada's doing it, right? Ontario's doing it. It's incredible. And so I have not had any direct, you know, connection with SMR, but I'm certainly one of those people watching closely. At the Bruce Power site, they have CANDU reactors, which is a Canadian technology, large scale reactors. And so right now, you know, there isn't an SMR build happening in our area in Bruce County or with Bruce Power. But it is happening at Darlington, which is an OPG site. So, you know, again, it's interesting, it's fascinating to watch the build, the supply chain, the domestic partners stepping forward to build this thing, and all eyes are on Canada. And so let's get more nuclear power built and let's do it right. At the end of the day, you know, we're supporting the environment. We're supporting that those clean air initiatives. We're doing things like producing medical isotopes. We're doing things like, you know, creating significant job opportunity for Canadians and Ontarians. And it's the right thing to do, right? That base load power is it's reliable, it's safe, it's affordable, and it's keeping us warm on days like today.
That is for sure. It has definitely been a bit chilly. recently. So thank you for keeping us warm. And even the stats you mentioned earlier from the report about the percentage of energy in the province and stuff, like those are outstanding. So I'll definitely make sure I include as many of those as I can in the show notes just to give folks some information there.
It's great.
I know, Jess, you mentioned a few times about the importance of collaboration and success. And I
Yeah.
know when we chat to different folks in economic development that it really thrives on partnerships. And I know
Yes.
you've mentioned a couple already, but I was curious, is there one example that really stands out in your mind, whether it's been a partnership with a municipality or a business or a different association that you've worked with in the past?
Oh, hard to pick just one. I mean, right now, the work that the NII is doing, you know, our superpower as this member-based not-for-profit is putting our founding members in touch with each other. And a good example, we have a program called Kaizen for Nuclear. Kaizen being a principle of lean where, you know, we look at a process and we eliminate, you know, the waste within that process. And so what we've been doing, my colleague Greg, who's brilliant and just, you know, inspires me every single day, he's working closely with our founding members and Bruce Power to say, okay, let's look at a business service or an operation or a task you do together. Let's do a Kaizen. Let's walk through the process. Let's find out how to fix this process, right? And I mean, it's not a surprise that humans tend to do things the way we've always done things. And it's crazy, right? Like, this is the stuff that's like, no, we're not, we gotta stop, right? It's 2026.
I
We
love
gotta.
that. The British railway trap, and if Brock's listening. But
That's
yeah,
right. That's
the
right.
idea of
Exactly.
like it's just it some of the stuff is insane.
It's
And you're like, how are we
insane.
still doing this? But I think it's for that reason. So excited to hear that you
Oh
guys
my
are
goodness.
pushing the boundaries.
Absolutely. And I mean, so Greg, you know, he takes them to task. He challenges. And he says, "Why are you doing it this way?" And someone will shrug and someone will go, "I don't know." And it's like, what if we stop doing that? Right now, we've just found time, we've found savings, we've found whatever the case may be. And like, this isn't rocket science, right? This is taking a look at something and making it better. But you have to have the right players at the table. You have to be in the collaborative mindset to say, my private sector company, who, you know, maybe Bruce Power is a customer of ours, and we want to make this relationship stronger. We want to make the sector stronger. We've got to have the right people at the table. And so the NII is we're the vehicle for that. So our founding members come to the table and they go, "Hey, we have this thing. It's kind of crazy. Can you help us?" And we say, "Absolutely, give it to us, right? We love the crazy stuff." And Greg and the transformation team and Michelle and Jennifer and Allison and Virat and Kevin, right? This team, the small powerhouse team in the transformation sector, they take these crazy weird things, they take them all apart, they rebuild them, they say, does that make sense? They pilot it. Sometimes they say, well, you know, can we call a friend? Like, who do we know that works in this sector? Or who do we know that maybe has an AI solution that we could implement to support this? Or what about, you know, virtual reality for this training initiative instead of making everybody show up to this one place? And so we start to think very creatively as a core value of the NII. You know, creativity is one of those core values. We show up with ideas, practical ideas. We show up with adoptable ideas. So it's a technology that we're actually going to adopt. And we commit and we do it. And then the team comes back and they say, hey, guess what? This pilot's underway. We're already saving X amount of hours a week. We're saving X amount of hours a month, and guess what? That's X amount of hours a year. How many dollars is that, right? And you go, holy moly, this is where it starts to be this efficiency. And the reality is, you step out, and this is hard work for people that have a job to do every single day, whether you're at the plant at Bruce Power or whether you are, you know, BWXT with a major manufacturing and exporting, like they're an incredible company. If you're a founding member, you've got work to do. If you are Bruce Power, you've got work to do. But the NII, it's our job to be innovative, and it's our job to find some of these efficiencies on behalf of our founding members. So, you know, I know that wasn't one particular collaboration story, but it's a position of how we at the Nuclear Innovation Institute, that's how we see collaboration. And it's success. It's awesome.
I love that, and I think that like That is such a specific example, even though, it's more broad, but it just shows how that works between organizations and such, and how it's so important, and the intricacies of asking, as Greg does, why are we doing it this way? And that's huge. And then I love how you explain, and when I chat with my wife, who's in a municipal government, and we always talk about the cost of doing things. And there's a lot of things, especially in the municipal sector, of these different processes and using staff time for all sorts of things. And then when you actually, because my question usually for her is, oh, well, how much do you think that meeting costs? Or how much do you think that this thing that they wanted to investigate that doesn't go anywhere actually costs? And I think a lot of folks at that level, they're not really thinking about these things. So if you can ask the right questions and then come up with, hey, well, here's a legitimate costed solution to this, where you're going to save, X amount of hours in the future. And that's what this translates into, and how you can be more effective and efficient and utilize innovation and new ways of technology and stuff, I think is really cool. So thank you for that. You've definitely got my mind spinning in a thousand different directions right now about different
Great.
things to bring up in the future. So thank you.
That's great. I love that. That's awesome.
And hopping in, I've got a couple questions left for you, Jess. One that we always ask is advice for new economic developers, but we'll also open that up to the energy sector as well. If folks are looking to join either of these sectors, what are some kind of key steps you'd recommend for them, whether it's securing, their first job or an internship in the field, or any tips on being successful and kind of whether it's pivoting or somebody changing careers or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, like for the economic development piece, I kind of go back to the conversation we had around relationships, like just building that into your everyday, taking the time to connect with your local developers, take the time to connect with the small business owners, take the time to connect with, the member of council that maybe you're not sure that person sees eye to eye with you, be curious, making those connections, and then thinking about the sectors within your community or who are those economic drivers and are they working together? Is there opportunity to support? Being curious and getting out and doing some of those interviews. It doesn't need to be a formal BR&E, but business retention expansion study. It doesn't need to be anything too formal, but stopping in and asking how it's going, right? Like it's just asking people how it's going, you'll learn so much. And you build trust, and always being genuine in that approach is critical. So, I mean, when I think about the economic development, sort of piece of advice I'd offer is just don't underestimate that. Keep that kind of as part of who you are as an economic developer, because I do think that's what makes this sector so special. I have some colleagues going to the EDCO conference next week, and I said, you guys are going to love it. I said, you're going to absolutely love it. I said, and not just because EDCO is like an incredible association, but I said, every single person that's at that conference, you're going to be able to connect with. These are people that are passionate about small business and passionate about data and passionate about being strategic and they understand what a strong community can look like. So anyways, and then the energy side of that question, I think the energy not I think, I know, like the energy sector is having a moment, right? The nuclear sector, we are certainly having a moment. We are talking new build, we're talking existing major component replacement project that is on time and on schedule. Like these are major infrastructure projects that we are delivering as the sector, and we're delivering because we are in the people business, and we're delivering because we are collaborative, and we're committed, and it's a sector of highly passionate people, lots of technical people, lots of non-technical people, right? Like this sector takes all types. And think about Bruce Power alone. You can do anything at Bruce Power. You can be a comms or a marketing, you can be a design person, you can be an engineer, you can be a carpenter, you can be legal counsel, right? Like you go around the list of careers, and there's opportunity in the nuclear sector. And everybody is always looking for more and more help because we're growing like crazy. But I will say, if you are a new grad looking at and getting involved in the sector, reach out. right? Like, I mean, find people that are curious on LinkedIn, make some connection, request some informational interviews. I often will take those calls from people and chat a little bit about, who I might know that might be able to help them out. There's lots of co-op opportunities through Bruce Power. Our organization may be taking on a co-op or two. However, Bruce Power and our founding member companies, they are hiring lots of co-op students, and so being open to placements and kind of getting that first foot in the door. And if you're looking to retrain in the sector, don't be shy. There's again, lots of opportunities. So thinking about where your interest or your passion or where your experience might be, finding that nuclear supplier company or that producer like Bruce Power, and just get looking, because I can assure you they're looking for you too. So tons of opportunity, but by all means, don't be shy to reach out to the sector, because the sector is ever evolving and growing.
Love it. That is fantastic advice. Is there anything missing from our conversation today, that you think would be of interest to our listeners?
I think we covered a lot, Mason. I really do.
Awesome.
Great. I
That is
think,
good.
if people are curious about learning more about the NII, and I mean, you already said it today, but I'll say it again, please follow us on LinkedIn. That's my best piece of advice to see what we're up to. We've got original research that comes out through those channels. We've got a really fascinating report out right now on AI and data centers. A spoiler alert, AI and data centers are going to need more nuclear, right? They are. They're power hungry machines. So let's give them more baseload power to do that, and let's get some more new nuclear built here. So, but following us on LinkedIn is the right place to see sort of where we are, what we're up to. And I'm happy to answer any questions, and people can certainly reach out to me anytime.
Amazing. Thank you so much. So we have a closing tradition on the podcast, where we have a mystery question. And
Oh.
this one I thought of when I was driving my son today, and the energy from my coffee was just hitting me. And I said, you know who else has a lot of energy? Jess does.
I
You've
do.
got, and from this interview, I think it's very clear to anybody listening, you have exceptional energy.
I do have a lot of
Not just
energy.
having a lot of energy, but very like positive energy. And it's
Oh, thank
easy.
you.
And it's interesting because sometimes you don't pick that up when you talk to somebody through a microphone. You get that a lot in person with how people are. And like, we've been chatting and I can't even see you, but I feel the energy. It is contagious.
Oh,
It's really
thanks.
exciting. So I'm curious, how do you keep it up? Do you have any specific habits, routines, or like mental fitness activities that you take part in to keep you going and to keep you at that level?
Yeah, that's a great question. And actually, that's probably something I'll reflect on. I believe my well-being is certainly tied to my fitness. I make a point to spend time outside. I run. I like to run. I didn't run today, though. It's funny you asked me that question on the day I slept in, but I will also say I listen to my body when I need to rest. And I think that fitness is, for me, it's a mind clearing activity. Running is quite meditative. I love to go to the gym. I don't really like to talk to people at the gym, though. Like I do sort of like to put the earbuds in and do my own thing. And it clears my mind. I love music. I always have music on. You can ask my colleagues. I have a speaker in my office. There's always something on. And some days it's a little bit more, pop, or sometimes it's, some pretty sad country stuff. I've got some favorite artists, and some of it's really sad, but I love it. It's just, poetic. But then some days it's just background music, right? Like that production, sort of like the productivity vibes on Spotify or whatever it's called. And I think that those are kind of tools that I use to sort of keep me grounded. I also do, I stay where my feet are. I'm very intentional about being present. So if I can stay where my feet are, I'm in the right headspot. So, my feet are here today in this podcast with you, Mason, and I've really enjoyed this conversation. And after this, my feet will be getting ready to head to an event. And I'm looking forward to that, and I'll be very present there. And at the end of all of this, I get to have my feet at my dining room table with my family, and I get to be very present with my family. And I do think that being where your feet are can help you stay focused, can help you stay present, can help you stay true and genuine. And I think that finding that balance of well-being is critical too. So, and having close connection, right? Like we all need close connection. We need other humans. We need best friends, and we need people we can chat with and work through things. So it's a full circle of sort of reflection and well-being there, but that's a really great question. And if you can believe it or not, I've only had one coffee today too. That's remarkable.
Amazing. And honestly, what a beautiful answer. Thank you so much for sharing that with me, and for staying where your feet are. I think that's incredible, and the ability to be present in the moment. So thank you for being present with me today. I've
Yeah.
really enjoyed our time, and I really look forward to our next discussion.
Yeah, me too, Mason. Thank you so much. That was wonderful.
Thank you for joining us on Hyperlocal. Real stories, real impact, local solutions, and global perspectives. If today sparked an idea, share it with your network and tag us. If you love today's conversation, hit subscribe, leave a review, and share it with that one person who needs to hear it. Thank you so much, and let's keep the momentum going.